This is Real Estate Rookie episode 390. Can you start off investing out of state with commercial properties? What are the big factors to consider when this is your first real estate deal? My name is Ashley Kerr, and I'm here with Tony J. Robinson.
And welcome to the Real Estate Rookie podcast, where every week, twice a week, we bring you the inspiration, motivation, and stories you need to hear to kickstart your investing journey. Now, today's guest is Yiting Yang, and she's a traveling pediatric neurologist that finally realized she really needed to take control of her own financial destiny. And obviously, she chose real estate to do that. So she's currently house hacking in San Diego and investing in small commercial properties in the Midwest. And she picked an asset class that fits her specific investment goals. We'll also hear about some of the challenges dealing with larger properties and what she learned from her first deals to help save you from things like an ulcer from your lender. We'll also learn how to help with the mental battle you're facing when losing money or dealing with stress on the job or in your business. And she'll share a horror story about buying a small business, what she learned, and lessons you should learn as well. So, Yiting, welcome to the show. Super excited to have you today.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'd love to hear about your experience diving into real estate and what kind of helped you get clear on where you want to get started.
I think it begins when we're really young. All the things that we're taught about how to succeed and whatnot give contributions back to the world. I really had that intense focus for many years of my life with going into pediatric neurology medicine, which was 9 years after college. So when I was in the last year, the chief of pediatric neurology was retiring that year, and I saw him about to retire in his 60s, and I was really facing my own future, as it were. And it wasn't a future that I wanted to see. So jumping ahead, I was practicing in California as a pediatric neurologist in a, you know, not great work environment. I left to become self-employed. Long story short, I really realized that I needed to figure out my financial future. It would be pretty critical for me to figure out how to invest, but I literally knew nothing whatsoever about finances, about money, and how it worked.
What time frame was this?
This was in 2019. I had just quit my job, and then the pandemic happened a couple months later.
Okay, so at this point, you've decided that maybe real estate is the route to go. How did you decide on your asset class and your strategy, and what did you end up picking?
I endeavored to learn every single asset class within real estate because that is how my brain works. And I like to look at every single option. And there are probably thousands of different ways to go about making money in real estate, as well as making money in general. I realize now it's about what is it that the greater power wants to use you to create into the world.
And Yiting, when you think about that, right? Because like, there's a million different ways to go with real estate investing. You can flip, you can wholesale, you can do short-term, long-term, multifamily. Like, how did you specifically land on the niche that you felt spoke to you the most?
I really just got started making offers. I looked at every single asset class for about 2 months. I started to analyze deals within the first couple of weeks, and I started making offers about 2 to 3 months in. It was on multifamily house hacking in North San Diego County. And then I made offers in multifamily in Arizona because I saw that I could drive there if I had to. And then I made offers on a short-term rental, huge renovation, almost tear down in Joshua Tree. And I made an offer on residential assisted living facility in Arizona. I came under contract for all of those times, nearly.
No way. So you were just kind of like, whatever property, whatever kind of makes sense. So did you end up actually closing on all those? Or like, did you go under contract and like lose earnest money? Like, what happens after you go under contract in like four or five different properties in different states and asset classes?
I did not do it as a shotgun approach. It was really one and the other in turn. And so I went under contract. I focused on one deal. It didn't make sense for one reason or another. I saw that I did not wish to be in the healthcare business in real estate. You know, residential assisted living facilities could be a really quick path to financial independence for some, but I wanted to move away from those aspects of healthcare. I realized that the short-term rental couldn't work because, well, I was told that the lender could not lend on that property because the ARV was not worth it for them. So I learned about that. I lost all of the due diligence fees, the inspection fees. I didn't lose any earnest money.
So after that, where do you kind of take it from now as to there was three deals under contract, you realize these aren't the strategies for you. What happens next?
I absolutely looked at every single asset class, including the commercial. And then I started to go to events. I was always listening to Bigger Pockets, and you would talk about, okay, you know, it's really a team sport. And I went to my first real estate event and met my business partner within the first minute of going to that event.
Oh my gosh, wow.
So she was really the start of what became my strategy, which is she was investing in the Midwest in small multifamily duplexes. She was doing really well. And I saw that she was living in San Diego. And so once that light bulb went off, I didn't have to stick to Joshua Tree or Arizona or the markets I felt like I could afford. I was able to really just open up my eyes to anywhere in the country that made sense. And of course, it did turn out to be a really wonderful business partnership.
Well, I definitely want to get into that more. We're going to take a short break right now. But when I come back, let's talk about that partnership and how you both decided on a market and what that market is. We'll be right back.
Are current interest rates making you depressed about cash flow? What if it didn't have to be that way? Rent to Retirement has 2.99% seller financing available on turnkey properties. You heard that right. That's a seller financed 2.99% interest rate where the average cash flow is over $900 per month. They also have options where you can put as low as 5% down on multiple investment properties with no PMI. Rent to Retirement is the nation's leading turnkey investment company that understands what it takes to be successful in today's dynamic real estate market. Their reputation speaks for itself with more five-star reviews than any other company on the Bigger Pockets website. Rent to Retirement offers fully turnkey properties that are newly built or renovated, leased and managed, allowing you to invest with confidence in the markets that offer the best returns. To learn more, visit renttoretirement.com. That's renttoretirement.com. Or text REI to 33777. Again, text REI to 33777.
Remember when you had to pay to get a lead's phone number? It was like the dark ages. Until Deal Machine made skip tracing a thing of the past. Now, with your Deal Machine plan, you'll get unlimited access to phone numbers and contact information for no extra cost. That's right, get high quality, reliable information trusted by leading financial institutions, all fully compliant with the federal Do Not Call list. Explore over 150 data points, including age, gender, marital status, occupation, and a ton more. Trust me, this is the data you need for off-market deals. With new filters, people flags, and color-coded phone numbers, lead management just got a ton easier. Ready to step up your investing game? Sign up for a Deal Machine plan today and gain immediate access to this unlimited treasure trove of contact information and phone numbers. Just head to dealmachine.com/BP. Transform your lead generation and deal-making strategies with Deal Machine. Sign up today and start exploring the unlimited possibilities at dealmachine.com/BP.
This show is sponsored by Airbnb. Did you know that I turned one of my first homes into an Airbnb? It's true. And it even helped me get the extra income I needed to launch my real estate career. So if you want to try your hand at making even more income with your property, Airbnb is the place to be. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, we are back with Yiting, and we just talked about how she has decided that as being self-employed, she needs to get some better tax advantages. And one of the ways to do that is through real estate. So she tried out several different strategies that weren't for her and now has met a partner at a real estate meetup. So there's hope for all of you out there. Attend those meetups. So Yiting, you find this partner, what market do you guys decide on and why do you decide on that market?
Yeah, so she was already investing in this market in the Midwest. It was Indiana. It was a submarket of Indiana. We did not approach Indianapolis whatsoever. I think that is a really big learning that I had through her. You know, Indianapolis is sort of a jungle. They talk about one street being, you know, like a D going up right next to an A or B level neighborhood. And so within the submarkets, you don't have as much issues with war zones or, you know, lack of safety. And so that really helped us greatly. I started to network in that market. I talked to property managers and realtors, and we looked at a few small multifamily. She said, my partner said, you know, let's keep it to the larger multifamily. It's all one roof and it's all a single property that makes it so much easier to manage. I looked at portfolios of single families and she really said, no, that's not going to work for me. And I realized later how wise that was, at least for us.
And it's cool that sometimes your partnership can kind of force you outside of your comfort zone to maybe do something that you wouldn't do by yourself. What market specifically, what city were you guys in the Midwest out there, Yiting?
So we were in a submarket of Indiana called Evansville in southern Indiana. And then I talked with the property managers as I was doing the networking, as well as just interviewing managers. In that conversation, she said, well, one of our owners is about to sell. We can tell you about that property. And it was 14 units. It did go on the market, but we were already really focused on it when it did go on the market. We had that slight time advantage, or perhaps it just was this timing of, yeah, looking for deals constantly. And this was, by the way, already about 1 year after I started learning in 2020. And so I was at the point of a significant frustration at times of not having gotten a deal. There's a lot of identity around investor, right? And so up until that point, I still did not feel like I was an investor. Of course, I really was all along. And so if you're investing in stocks in your retirement funds, you are an investor. You know, you can let go of that. And so we did get the 14 units.
Congratulations, right? Yeah. It took a little while, but you got it. And I think that's probably the biggest lesson for our rookies to walk away with is that sometimes, sometimes you can, your first search on Zillow, you're going to find that perfect deal. I'll never forget the first time I tried to wholesale, we sent out like a bunch of postcards. And the very first person that called me, we ended up closing that deal for like a 30K assignment fee. And then we didn't talk to anyone else, like get any other deals for like another 6 months, right? So sometimes it takes a little bit longer than you think. And I know you're in Indiana. We just recently interviewed Bailey Kramer on episode 381, and he was in Terre Haute, Indiana, which I think is not too far from Evansville. But we're starting to see this trend of folks kind of going, and it's been a trend, right? But folks, at least on the podcast, who are moving towards these Midwestern towns because you are able to get better cash flow than you might be able to get in a San Diego. So let me ask, Yiting, when you thought about going into this other market, what made you feel that the partnership was necessary? Was it because you just wanted to make sure that you had someone that knew that market already? Was it, hey, I want to split the down payment costs? Like, what was the true motivation for you? And I guess, how did you guys structure that partnership so it was mutually beneficial?
It was really her that helped me to start with my strategy of out-of-state multifamily. She had this great sense about where to invest, how, what kind of asset to buy, multifamily versus single family. And she already had properties in Indiana. So I did feel definitely a degree of comfort with getting into, especially my first deal. After that, I stopped partnering, but she'll always be my partner. You know, we'll be holding this for probably many decades. And so once I had that sense of, wow, okay, I am able to learn about the aspects of the investing approach that make the most sense for me and my goals specifically, I was able to set out and do it on my own.
What were some of those goals that multifamily accomplished for you?
So I really had the goal of cash flow, and cash flow is important for me. There is appreciation in general in multifamily, but it wasn't a market like San Diego. And so I really wanted to get a sense of I could reach financial freedom because I was working as a traveling physician and the assignments could be irregular. So once I let go of that sense of, well, I have to have financial freedom, it really helped me to enjoy the journey so much more. It helped me to develop the approach of conscious investing. So investing with presence and mindfulness. I had been a travel physician for all of these different locations, and yet I didn't think until just recently about how to make that a more permanent job. So I am about to accept a permanent position, essentially as an acting chief of pediatric neurology in a out-of-town location part-time, which is the sustainable approach for me. And so before I had only blinders on with grim determination to attain that $10,000, $15,000 a month, I since realized that I want to be able to share about conscious healing, conscious investing as my business goal. And so this whole journey has been made so much more enjoyable because I'm able to bring in the mindfulness and presence to my everyday life.
So, Yiting, one of the things you said that I want to drill down on a bit here was the failures that you talked about. So, I guess did the process go smoothly as you actually started buying the real estate? Like once you found the deal, that all the pieces aligned, or I don't know. I guess what maybe challenges or obstacles did you bump up against as you set out to start buying these initial properties?
Yeah. So the process of escrow for that 14 units was really ulcer-inducing, and it lasted 5 months.
Wow. Sounds like buying a property in New York.
It was literally my first property. I'd never owned a house, a primary home before that. I was renting at that time in San Diego because of how difficult it is to get into the market here. And so that was a big learning about, really, you need to ask your lender, your mortgage broker, a little bit more about these lenders. What is the process like working with them? We would have so much rather gone with a slightly higher interest rate. Those are fantastic interest rates still at that time. It was 4.2, something like that. I would have happily done 4.5, 4.7. Had I been able to, work with a lender that was much more reasonable. So
what were some of those challenges, Yiting? Like why did it stretch out for 5 months?
We still don't fully know. It's part of how that lender works. And so then they would ask us to provide proof of funds at the third month and then again at the fourth and fifth month because it had stretched out to that time frame. And maybe it was around the interest rates being so low in general, everyone was doing refinancing. It wasn't clear to us.
What's some advice you can give to someone else who's maybe going to get their first loan right now? What advice would you give to find a good lender Even if you are paying a little bit higher interest rate, how do they even know that the lender is going to be reasonable?
So I think speaking with your mortgage broker, if that's how you found it, speaking with local banks especially would have been a good idea. And so, yeah, as a rookie, you know, I'm still really learning about the financing aspect. That's one of the huge levers in real estate. And so learning about how to manage financing, but also even doing arbitrage with financing. I'm just starting to learn about buying notes, for example, because I got tired of the management of renovations. So there are so many ways to do that. Once you learn, I would say, the key principles within business and investing itself, which is leverage. How do you leverage appropriately? And managing debt. How can you manage debt in a way that it's really the good debt? Understanding that the debt on a primary home, getting as big a house as you can, is not good. That's actually a liability, not an asset. So those are, some of the critical ways. And I'm definitely still learning all the time about how to approach lenders, as well as learning about private money, Harmony, and different approaches like that.
What was the purchase price on the 14 unit? And this is the one that you had the struggle with, or was this a different property where you had the struggle with the lender?
This was 14 units that was purchased for $525,000. And it was a 5-month struggle with the lender. We did close and it performed incredibly well for us. And now we are transitioning it to about 4 units of furnished rentals, both short-term and medium-term hybrid. And it really was one of those deals that could not have been better in so many ways. We would have this very consistent cash flow of $6,000 every single month. So that was split 50-50, of course, with my business partner. And then we transitioned to this furnished rental approach that started to give me more ulcers, but also it completely wiped out our cash flow for over 6 months now.
Of just paying for furnishings?
Paying for the renovations that started to get a little bit mismanaged. And so we have just approached our property manager about our concerns with that. And so we're very hopeful that, you know, things are going to get better with that. Again, it was definitely key to find a great property manager. That is everything when you're out of state investing, is also maintaining communication and going back to them when there is an issue like we're dealing with the renovations.
We're going to take a short break real quick, Yiting. And when we come back, I want to dig into what were some of the things that happened with the property manager and what are some of the lessons you learned that we could all do differently when communicating and working with a property manager. We'll be right back after this short break.
Hiring? Your search is over. Really, there's no need to search. Match instead with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates super fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging to hire top talent faster. Speaking of top talent, 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. But why do I love Indeed? Because I'm busy and scrolling through 300 resumes is not helping my business grow. It's actually making it slow. With Indeed, I can hire faster and know I'm getting someone who can do the job. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to post your jobs with more visibility at Indeed.com/rookie. Just go to Indeed.com/rookie right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/rookie. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you can make sure your ride stays running smoothly. Brake kits, LED lights, exhaust kits, turbochargers, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Rookies, 2024 is the year to start protecting your rental properties with an LLC. But you don't have to do all the paperwork and filing yourself. Corporate Direct is your professional and affordable option for getting your LLC done right. They handle the state filings, draft your operating agreement, and act as your registered agent. They'll even help you comply with the Corporate Transparency Act, a new federal disclosure law affecting every real estate investor. Corporate Direct is a family business founded by attorney, author, and rich dad advisor Garrett Sutton over 35 years ago. Now, his son Ted is a licensed attorney working with him. Together, they've helped thousands of real estate investors form and maintain their LLCs and protect their assets. If you're trying to build a real estate portfolio, do not skip the LLC. Head over to corporatedirect.com/biggerpockets to schedule a free 15-minute consultation with an incorporating specialist. Mention Real Estate Rookie and get a $100 discount on your formation. That's corporatedirect.com/biggerpockets.
The dream of owning a vacation home can be daunting. From finding the best guests, to the maintenance, to organizing the cleaners after every guest day. With Vacasa, they make that dream into a reality. As a full-service vacation home management company with vacation homes in key destinations across the U.S., they know a thing about how to make owning a vacation home easy and profitable. On top of proactive property maintenance visits by professional local teams, a hospitality-driven booking platform, and around-the-clock support, Vacasa earns homeowners an average of 20% more revenue from their vacation homes. Vacasa is always thinking of ways to simplify the vacation home owning experience by putting your home to work for you. If you're looking to make more from your vacation home, work with the reliable property manager, and finally have peace of mind, partner with Vacasa at vacasa.com/biggerpockets. That's vacasa.com/biggerpockets.
Okay, welcome back. We are here with Yiting, and she's going to tell us about her experience with a property manager and renovating some units to turn them into furnished rentals. So Yiting, what were some of the things that went wrong that you weren't happy with, and how did you handle it?
This renovation for a single unit was supposed to take about 2 to 4 weeks. It took more in the realm of 6 months. It was some of just my not being able to manage it. My business partner had a baby, different things. And then it was, you know, finished. It's renting now for 3 times what we're getting, about maybe 4 times close to what we were getting for long-term rentals. It's a property that is right across the street from hospital. And I mean, literally, you cross one street and that is the hospital across from it. And so it's really a tremendous property. We definitely want to keep it mainly long-term rentals. But with these 4 to 6 medium-term furnished rentals, we are hoping to potentially triple our cash flow because the long-term rentals will be covering the PITI. So when we started to approach how to manage the management of these rentals, I really was benefiting from Jesse Vasquez and his approach to furnished rentals, making it like a business. We knew that we didn't want to be managers. And so we found someone on Bigger Pockets to help us manage. That did not work out. And then we were referred to a property manager to specifically manage the furnished medium-term and short-term rentals. And he's been a rock star. So he works in conjunction with our long-term manager. And we worked it out so that they would still have income, a straight fee for those units that we are doing furnished rentals, so that they know we really cherish their relationship as well as all the work that they do for us.
I think that is so important to clarify that there is a difference. Because somebody has experience managing a long-term rental does not mean that they are qualified or capable of managing a short-term rental. And Tony, I'd love to get your opinion on this as, you know, you own a short-term rental property management company as to, do you think you could be equipped to run a long-term, you know, rental property, and what your advice is on this if you should hire a long-term property manager for your short-term rental?
Yeah, I would not be the person to hire for long-term property management because I would just kick everyone out. You know, I don't care what your lease says. I'm calling the cops like you're leaving tomorrow. So I agree with you, Ashley. I think there's definitely a big difference between the skill set that's required to be an effective and efficient long-term rental property manager and what it takes to be an effective short-term or medium-term rental. So the fact, Yiting, that you made the very smart decision to hire separately for those two disciplines, I think is really going to allow you to maximize the revenue on this property. So kudos to you for making that call. It sounds like overall, you know, obviously some bumps in the road on the closings, some of the issues getting the property renovated for the furnished piece, but sounds now that it's stabilized, you've done well with it. So now that that property is kind of off and running, what was your next step in terms of investing in real estate? Where did you go for that second investment?
That was finding a home. So I really still had the sense of not quite being fully an investor because I never owned my primary home. It's a little painful to think back. So I definitely don't focus on things in the past, but I was in Florida. I was in Texas. I was in literally every single state that blew up during the pandemic in terms of their housing market. And I didn't own any of those rentals that I had stayed in for my pediatric neurology training. So then in San Diego, it was an incredibly hot market in 2022. And it was really the peak of the market. I was able to buy a duplex where I am living now. And that was probably a more difficult deal to get than my 14 units, just because there were 20 offers or so on this property. And it was, it's definitely changed. San Diego is a wonderful appreciating market. And it is now where I'm focused on because my strategy, as I mentioned, has changed a bit from the cash flow, very intense focus on cash flow, to appreciation and wealth building.
With that house hack, were you able to cover part of your mortgage, all of your mortgage? Did you cash flow off of that? What was the outcome of that house hack?
So it's a single family home, technically, with an ADU. I am a single person. I live in the ADU. And the four bedroom house rented for $4,000. And then I was really wise, finally, to get a property manager after months of trying to manage it myself. And that is the best money that I can spend. And especially in California, where there are very challenging regulations for owning property for landlords, and mismanaging can be disastrous. So even though, yes, they are someone that lives right across from me, it actually is so much better, and I cannot recommend it enough for people who are able to do so to get a property manager. That's some of the best money that I have ever spent. And then I acquired the 12 units after that, and that's what I have now.
And that was in San Diego also?
So the 12 units was in Terre Haute, Indiana, actually.
Oh, okay. So we went 14 units in Indiana, then we went to San Diego for your house hack, and then back to Indiana. And this time you didn't have your partner, correct? This one was all on your own. So tell us about that. How did the numbers end up working out on that deal? What did you purchase it for?
Yeah, so that deal was purchased at around $15,000. I then saw that there were really massive renovations that were needed. And so I requested cash back from the seller. And so we increased the purchase price to $465,000 for the 12 units in And so that closing was fine. And that was when I had a really unfortunate learning about real estate investing out of state, because I was with a property manager that was grossly mismanaging the property. And he was really siphoning off so much money from really probably all of his landlords.
Wow. Like overcharging for things?
He was overcharging, and he would use the cheapest of materials as well as, labor. And then he would simply not do many of the maintenance items were not done. And so there were some nightmare aspects that I needed to address when I first went physically to the property, was to turn a unit, furnish a unit into a short-term, medium-term hybrid. And that's when I discovered what was happening. And so this was a property manager that had been, I suppose, grooming this working relationship with me for about 2 years. He was helping me analyze every deal in that market. And when I came across this deal, it was the seller that he was managing for. And so it was really natural, of course, for me to continue working with him, because I had really felt like he was the dependable person in that town for me. And it turns out, when you're not having different checks, having a realtor check or on your property manager, those are the, core recommendations that David Green talks about that I failed to do because I had been working with this person for so long. And so he essentially, I did speak with him about that, confronted him. He returned a portion of the renovations that he had charged me for. And then the portion that I asked for, he did fully return to me. And it's a small town, and so he knew that his reputation was critical. And then, of course, I found a good property manager, and also I again negotiated with that property manager to work with my furnished rental property manager on two of those 12 units as well. And so similarly, we had to negotiate with the manager of our 14 units in Southern Indiana to really bring him to the idea of co-managing. He did not want to do that at all for some time. We didn't push, and we just continued to learn more about the furnished rental approach. And then we reapproached it, and we realized that, there were certain things that he was concerned about that he would mention in conversations, and we made sure to address those. And of course, making sure to give them the fee for managing the overall property as well.
So altogether, Yiting, what is the total cash flow, or you can even state the income and then maybe the cash flow that is coming off of these three properties for you?
So I just sold my duplex, and I was making the $4,000 per month on that previously. And then I also sold 4 units of my 12 units that required renovations that I was not wanting to do. And so the cash flow from that was really minimal because of how mismanaged it was for so long. And so right now I have the 8 units on my own, and that brings in maybe around $2,000 a month. And we're about to finally get the furnished units rented out. And so those should be renting out for about $2,000 a month each.
So when you say you sold off the 4 units, was this, they were in a separate building and you parceled off those units, or did you kind of sell them condo style where now you have maybe an HOA together. How did that work?
So it was three separate buildings that were one single purchase, and each building was four units. And there was one building that I felt needed more renovations that I did not want to do. And then from the 14 units, we get the $7,000 per month. From the typical long-term rentals, then we transitioned and then we went to zero income for a long time because that manager was managing those renovations. And now we are getting in about $1,700 for the two units that are furnished that are renting out each. And so about $3,400 plus the $5,000 that we're gaining from the nine units that are rented out long-term.
Yiting, before we kind of wrap up here, I want to ask one last question. What are some of the, or how do you handle the mental aspects of some of the things you've had to deal with throughout your journey? You know, the frustration of the lender, the property manager, all these different things that have come up. Do you have any advice for rookies on how to build that mental toughness?
Yeah, so I really would have that physical pain that literally seemed to create an ulcer in me. And all of these frustrations with not knowing what is happening out of state with your property, which really is your livelihood at some times. And it's, you know, I deal with the most intensive situations on a day-to-day basis because it's your baby's brain that has an issue in pediatric neurology when you have to see the neurologist. And the only thing that is anything close to that is money and losing money, right? So these are two topics that really are benefit, especially from the approach of presence and mindfulness. And I was meditating many years ago for decades, and yet I never really applied it in everyday life. And so I would say that in everyday practice, it can be really a fun thing to apply this, right? Being in your body is a practice. One portion being the sensing of your physical body and what is the degree of tension or ease. The number two thing would be the breath. The breath is able to cut through that loop of mind. And whenever you bring attention and awareness to your breath, it only takes one single conscious breath to bring you to presence. So that ego, when it arises, and you worry about failing in an investment, and so you are incapable of action, you can smile at it. And you can be that depth of presence that sees the ego and the mind being concerned about action or loss. And you can be in acceptance of that. The more you practice that acceptance of your own thoughts, the more you practice being the watcher of those thoughts, the more you can overcome them.
Well, Yiting, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your real estate journey with everyone. We really appreciate it. If you would like to learn more about Yiting, we're going to put her information into the show notes. And if you're watching us on YouTube, it will be in the description. So we hope you guys learned a lot today and took away some great advice from Yiting. Make sure you follow the podcast on YouTube, you like, you subscribe, you join the Real Estate Rookie Facebook group, and you leave an honest rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. I'm Ashley and he's Tony. Thank you so much for listening and we'll see you guys on the next episode. Yeah. The market is changing and finding your way can be tricky. Rates shift, headlines whirl, but your goal hasn't changed. You want financial freedom. And the best investors know it's not about timing the market, it's about time in the market. If you're ready to get into the real estate investing game or take your game to the next level, finding an investor-friendly agent is your next step. With BiggerPockets Agent Finder, you can find the right agent in minutes. Just head to biggerpockets.com/deals, enter a few details about what and where you want to buy, and boom, instantly match with an investor-friendly agent who fits the bill. These local market experts can help you navigate the neighborhoods, analyze the numbers, and take action with confidence once and for all. There's free resources only available at biggerpockets.com/deals. Get an agent, get the deal, and get closer to financial freedom at biggerpockets.com/deals. That's biggerpockets.com/deals to find your investor-friendly agent today. The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all host and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.